everybody. Thank you. Sorry for the delay. Obviously, just an amazing evening here for us. And just continuing the momentum in Believe Land, we couldn't be more excited about the opportunities this poses for us.
And our first question comes from Ken Rhoda from Cleveland, Ohio. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, David. Hey, as you look at this draft, there are three guys there at the top that anyone could help your team. How are you going to differentiate between those three as to which guy is the best fit for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I think it's not necessarily just limited to three names that are more highly hyped. You know, we've got to do a really thorough evaluation of all of the guys to know that we're not maybe doing something too quickly. I think when you look at the guys that get the most hype, obviously they get that because of their athleticism and their upside, and I think we're really open-minded to doing a lot of different things relative to that pick, and so we'll focus on more than just those three. But I appreciate your question, Kenny. There's more to it than just those three guys that people talk about.
Thanks.
Jason Lloyd from Akron, Ohio. Please go ahead.
David, congrats. Are you keeping this, or is there a chance to get traded?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're very open-minded to a lot of things. Jason, you've been with me. You've heard me say I'd trade me if it made us better. I'm not going to turn a blind eye to anything. As much as I appreciate Nick Gilbert's bow tie bringing us the luck, you know, I feel like it puts us in a position to have more opportunities in front of us, and I don't want to limit our thinking right now.
Tom Withers from Cleveland, Ohio. Please go ahead.
Hey, Griff, congratulations. You almost looked like you got struck by lightning when they announced it. What was the first thing that went through your mind?
It's funny. I actually got to share this with our guy, Tad, just a moment ago. But the first thing that went through my mind is I'm standing on a stage with Dr. J, who I grew up idolizing as a child. And before the show, I actually told him the story of going to watch him play on my birthday every year because Philadelphia came to town about then. So to be honest with you, the first thing I thought while I was standing there was just overwhelmed with emotion to even be in that position. And the second thing I thought was, I hope he's not upset with me for smacking him on the back.
Jason Lloyd from Akron. Please go ahead.
David, I saw you tapping your lapel. What were you patting there throughout the proceedings?
So one of two things. Nick Gilbert's bow tie was basically my handkerchief and my coat, and my grandmother Dana, who passed away the Saturday after trade deadline, I have her angel pin on my lapel.
And Dana, D-A-N-A?
Yes.
Warren Shaw, please go ahead.
Hey, David, again, congratulations. What do you think really is the biggest need on that sheet to fill? I know you guys have some big guys that might become free agents this summer, but what are you thinking at the number one pick right now?
I think just beyond the number one pick, we're a team, we've talked a lot about our need to improve our floor spacing and our basketball IQ. We need to improve our toughness. We're a team with several needs, quite frankly, and we need to address our fit as much as anything else. And so I would say that, big picture-wise, is kind of where our focus is, and the first pick is just a piece of that puzzle. It doesn't answer anything for us, and there's no savior here. This is all just about putting the pieces together in one puzzle.
Jody Velade from Cleveland, Ohio. Please go ahead.
Hey, David. Just wanted to ask you, what do you think this getting the number one pick might do for your coaching search? And where do you put your priorities now? Do you go straight into the draft, or do you try to get a coach first?
No, you know, we've talked a lot about the coaching search in terms of there's no set timetable for that, and we want to hire the right person. We don't want to hire the first person. So we're not in a rush on that. I think relative to if there's any connection between this and our search, it just makes us an even more attractive destination than we are. It certainly improves the stockpile of talent that you could look at and believe that you have at your disposal as a coach. So, in that sense, I'm sure they're connected, but we don't have anything in mind relative to timing and connecting those two things.
The line of Terry Pluto from Cleveland. Please go ahead.
Well, David, congratulations on that. How, when you look at different drafts, how appealing is it to actually be looking at a player who can play center? It is a legitimate, you know, center in terms of size and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of the number one pick, there have been an awful lot of guys taken that were 7 foot centers, and certainly it's nice to be in a position to perhaps get one of those. At the same time, the game has changed so much, and the way the game is played, it's so up and down and wide open that getting a 7 foot center who can play, who also happens to be able to run the floor, really adds some intrigue to the situation. So, again, I don't focus just on the center in this, but to answer your question, it's a rarity to be in that pool.
And now to line up Ken Rota from Cleveland. Please go ahead.
David, when we look back at that LeBron draft with D. Wade and Chris Bosh, there were franchise-type players in that draft, and it's played out that way. In fact, three of them are playing on the same team, and they're playing right now. Is there any one or two players in this draft that should be considered franchise players, and will that make your decision difficult?
No, you know, I think for several drafts now, thinking anybody is a franchise player is a mistake. You know, these kids are going to be as good as the environment you put them in. We need to raise these kids in the right soil. You know, we need to put them in a situation where culturally they're a part of the team from the beginning. You know, the thing that San Antonio has done unbelievably well for years is they introduce everybody into a system, and everybody knows it's we, not I, and we, not me. And I think that's really important. To think that there's a savior in the draft is just not fair to those kids. And so for several years, I think, you know, you can't look at this as they're the answer. These kids are really young in most cases, and they're really inexperienced, and you have to raise them the right way. And I don't think this pool's a whole lot different. If you look at the top pick, they're all really young kids with a lot of upside, but none of them are finished products. So I don't think you just roll the ball out there and think you've done your job.
So, David, as you look at this, do you try and draft somebody who can help you right away, or do you base it on potential and upside down the road?
I think it's both. I think we're going to look at both. Again, relative to who helps you more right away, some of the older players that end up getting picked at 33, the seniors that have played 4 or 5 years in school end up being immediate helps to you. And we've got the 33rd pick as well, so that'll be a big part of the puzzle for us, and maybe somebody there helps us more immediately even than the first pick.
And now to line of Mark Podlasai from Willoughby, Ohio. Please go ahead.
Hey, David, can you just talk about when you saw that when you guys came at 9, you know, obviously you went out of that slot and you were guaranteed that top 3 pick. Can you talk about some of the emotions you felt at that moment, and did you kind of fathom, did you think, hey, man, this might actually be happening again, being that number 1 overall pick?
So when I saw our card wasn't in 9, my first reaction was, oh, my God, I guess we've moved up. That's unbelievable. And then when I saw the 3rd card revealed and it wasn't us, I really had to almost catch myself. I was ecstatic. I can't even begin to describe the emotion that I felt. I was, you know, it was a 1.7% chance. And we've had a kind of ironic thing in our building since we got the first pick with Kyrie, which was a 2.8% chance. Anytime you want to say something and you say 2.8% chance, everybody knows you think it can happen, so I guess 1.7% chance is going to become that buzzword now, or buzz theme now.